If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Rightstuff.biz. Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on the Rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the Rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you. Hello, fellow Redditors. Welcome to the Daily Show. I lost track of what number it is, 1119 or something. It don't matter.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
I'm here with Alex and Borzoi today. So
I'm a little bit apprehensive about doing this because there's going to be tons of comments or a few comments saying, oh, great, now Mike's fired and now he's being replaced by Borzoi.
Yes, Mike is, Mike is fired.
Well, we might as well just rip off the Band-Aid. Yeah, he's fucking the one. Fuck that guy.
Please don't say that.
He became impossible to get out of bed in the morning, so we can't continue on doing our show on time. That's funny. No, Mike is traveling for some stuff that's cool. I'm sure he'll tell us about when he gets back. So we're going to do like movie review of nationalism.
Yeah, we are because I found the clip I was looking for.
So this was a trick then. You guys tricked me into coming on to do a pause button.
To be honest, Alex just kind of told me and I'm just like, really? You want to talk about that? Okay, I guess so. Just sit here. I don't have strong opinions about it. That's the problem. I don't have very strong opinions.
I'll tell the audience, I do have stuff, so don't worry. Like we'll get through this. We'll get through this together. We'll get through this Terminator talk together.
I don't have anything. I don't know, man.
I'm 40 years old. I have seen Terminator billions of times. Terminator 2, I mean. I've seen
Terminator 2,
well,
Judgment Day, the one that matters.
The one that matters. I rewatched it last night, and I was like, man, this is actually really fucking good.
It's a good movie.
No this podcast, but what good. We make for ourselves.
The dialogue's one part's not very good. I guess the one thing I can say that's like political about Terminator 2 is they did an early tokenism where like the super genius that invented the fucking Terminator
Cyberdyne and the guy's name is Mike Dyson
and he's a nigger. Like the super it's genius like, that invented this chip and this like artificial intelligence is a nigger. It's like, all right, come on. You know,
it should have just been Mike Tyson. It should have just
Mike Tyson. I didn't pick up on that. Okay.
I mean, more likely what would have happened is the AI just looked at their creator and said, gorilla.
like the AI's facial recognition, like can't see him. Can't see me. I'm a nigga. I'm a different species. So that was funny. I just remember that as like, and that was very early on. That was like an easy to digest. Like, that's when they used to do easy to digest diversity. It's like, we're just going to sneak this black person into the film right here. His character is so far of an outlier for a black person that you can accept that we put a black person there because it doesn't represent blacks at all. You can just, like, move past it. Mm-hmm. That was, like, that's what the Disney A-logs are all mad about that they can't express. It's like, that's the kind of diversity you want to see. You just don't like it that, like, they, when they replace, like, rich, like, basically every nigger now... that's in films or on TV or even in commercials, every nigger family like is coming home to the John Hughes house that no nigger that basically when the John Hughes house was a thing, I think like the Home Alone mansion or even like Clark Griswold's house in Christmas Vacation, stuff like that. Like that neighborhood, that kind of construction, that kind of property, that was already for like rich white people. That wasn't the average white person's experience growing up, or that's not the kind of house a lot of people owned. That was sort of somewhat elite. And so even that already, like people would like point at John Hughes and was like, what kind of like privileged upbringing does this guy have? You get away with it. He gets away with it because the stories are generally so good. But nowadays it's like you take that and you put on top of it, like not only are we giving this rare lifestyle and putting it on display for you to relate to, we're making the people that are living it like black. It's like, no.
Like, yeah, black people who act like white people, which is what makes it even more jarring.
Act like upper echelon, like extremely successful white people.
Yeah, which is what happens in Terminator 2, because Mike Dyson, he's got a family, he's married to a black woman, they live in a nice house, and then this insane Karen tries to kill him. This white Karen shows up at his house, she tries to murder him.
That's right, she does.
You know, Sven, before they were Disney A-logs, a lot of those guys were basically Ghostbusters A-logs, and that was the argument they made in order to try to point to, here's how you do diversity. I forget the black character's name in the original Ghostbusters. Like, look, he's a working class guy who just wants a paycheck, and that was endearing, and we liked that.
Yeah, if there's a paycheck in it, I'll do it. Like, more like if there's shit I can steal, I'll do it. That would have been a lot more accurate.
See, now there's the Ghostbusters remake we need, where basically they're missing essential components at the last minute, the climax, because, what was his name, Winston? Winston stole all the components and took them home and sold them to the junkyard.
He found a way to get, like, the nuclear material out of the containment unit and, like, sell that on the black market to, like, terrorists or something.
They're missing their proton packs.
Actually, that's way too high of fucking agency. Never mind. That wouldn't happen. Basically, he would try to do that, and he would die like of instant radiation sickness. They would just come in and find like a leak, a core leak, and him dead with like tumors growing out of him. Because like dumb nigger tried to steal our nuclear material.
They would find a literal glow nigger.
Very much so. Very good.
Is assuming that he shows up to work in the first place.
That is true.
That's the other...
Oh, I can't imagine like you're running the Ghostbusters on CP time. Although they seem to run like the fire department, where everyone's just like sleeping in a bunk until the alarm goes off. So I don't know how that would work. I don't know. I don't have experience with niggers as first responders, which Alex you may. But I feel like that's almost like self-selecting. You can't just put a nigger in that job. Like you have to be like an agency.
My experience is that in terms of like a paramedic or something, you will occasionally have blacks, but you're getting like the talented tenth of the tenth whenever that happens.
Right.
That's my experience.
You're getting the kind of niggas that could invent like a cybernetic AI chip.
Right.
But the equivalent of that is like, no, I can show up and get my uniform on and go fight a fire. I could go help scrape fucking drug addicts off the sidewalk. Man,
like the blacks wash out of the lower levels of training. Like most of them just flunked right the fuck out of like EMT basic school. So if you make it to paramedic level as black guy, yeah, you probably couldn't fit a cyborg.
But I like the idea of defining down what the talent and tenth actually is and what it's capable of for the blacks. You know, it's like you can get through the certification test to be on an EMT crew. You know, that's the real talented tenth. The talented tenth is not like I'm a nigger who became a doctor. It's like, no, you're the nigger that can drive the Band-Aid bus. Barely. Right? Like that's what the real talented tenth is. It's not like you're not inventing cybernetic artificial intelligence that takes over the world. Like, no. It's like you would show up on time to like polish the robot's fucking parts. Maybe. That's
one of the things they kind of do with that, though, is with Mike Dyson here is that you got this recursive thing going on where he's actually just ripping off like some technology that they found from the first Terminator. Copy all of this stuff.
Oh, okay. So he is just a thief.
So the Mike Dyson, they should have used Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
You don't understand the ethics of artificial intelligence.
The problem is
I built it without the three laws. The law of the cybernetics. It's because I'm a nigga, I don't need any laws. The laws just hold me back. First, do no harm. What the fuck? How am I going to get money?
Speaking of that topic, McNabb, I remember in the aughts, the big fight over affirmative action was the two locations where a lot of the fights were happening were in the university admission system and in first responder stuff. I remember a number of lawsuits in the aughts over black first responders.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, there's a certain standard of training that you got to complete, and you're a black person. What's going to happen?
Well, I think that was where where conservatives tried to hinge their arguments a lot, as I recall from those fights, so that they didn't have to. They had to touch the race issue somewhat, but you know the very soft hand way they tend to do things. They made it about standards, and without going into there's a racial reason why they can't meet the standards, but if they can't meet the standards, then they shouldn't be getting preferential treatment.
I don't know. I can see why a black would be attracted to that job, because you do get paid to sleep sometimes.
Oh shit! I sleep for free all the time. That's fucked up. Yeah. I can see see the angle there. I'm desperately trying to think of a way to mash up Talented 10th and the T-1000. Like if the T-10th is the nigger robot he's coming to take your job. He's not qualified, but because of affirmative action, he's going to take it from you. I'm thinking of he's the guy who really killed Derek Vineyard's father. It wasn't some nigger on the street. It was a T-10th coming to take his fireman job. I don't know if you remember, he did that affirmative action rant in that movie where he's now I got a guy by my side. He might be less qualified. He got the job because he's black. That's messed up, Dad. And then he shaves his head.
I was watching T2 last night, and it involves Mike Tyson. There's an amazing continuous shot. We're talking about a shot that goes on for about 1 minute. I think it's over a minute. But near the end of the shot, there is a Jewish security guard, and it totally broke my immersion. I'm pretty sure this must be either the director of cinematography or just some random Jewish behind the scenes cast member or something. But it just completely blew any immersion I had. I was like, wait, why is this Jew working as a fucking security guard?
Is that the video you just sent me?
Yeah. It should be time stamped correctly.
It starts at about 46 seconds.
That's it. Unless you want to watch the entire 1 minute shot, which is terrific and fantastic.
I want to watch the entire movie. We'll just do a commentary. We'll just do riff tracks. Let me see. I gotta move this to Skype.
Just this fucking Israeli.
All right. Let's see. I'm walking through. There are some people that are making. Those are some COVID enjoyers. These guys aren't getting each other sick. These people are being oppressed. Oh God! Wait, is that the dad from American Pie? You know who I mean,
Eugene
right?
Eugene Levy. No, I don't think that's Eugene Levy.
It looks like Eugene Levy. what? Eugene Levy is your security guard.
Insert key.
Oh, okay, it's not. Yeah, it's not. It was a funny thought, though. Wow, he's telling the nigger how to open the door in his office. Glad I could. At least that's accurate.
That is.
Hey, yo, how you open this door?
A very Jewish-looking individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. It instantly broke any immersion that I had. I'm like, no.
Oh, this is where he has an army.
Like this Tel Aviv resident, working as a security guard.
That's his stolen chip right there.
That's a stolen chip.
There he goes. So this is all one shot. That's pretty interesting.
No, well, they cut there, the door. But the 1 minute leading up to it is this really cool, rotating, panning shot that then follows. You got all of this cast, coordinated. One guy, kicks over a trash can, and then it pans around to Dyson. And Dyson
blocking
is,
in business.
Talking about,
we have blocking in business in the single shot. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic shot, and I was enjoying it. And then fucking this Jew appears. I'm like, well, God damn it. How are you going to do that?
I wonder if where that guy went in his career, what sort of insider is he? It's that was just his first job. It's my first Hollywood job will be the security officer in the Skynet lab. And then
just assumed it was a cameo or something.
Yeah, it could be, right? It could be somebody on the crew or somebody from the studio. Well, what are you going to do?
It's got to be, because what, this is a Jewish actor that they just cast for this one particular... You would be a great security guard. People would find that believable.
It feels like it's some kind of stepping stone. If it's not a cameo, it's some kind of stepping stone. It's some kind of dues he had to pay to get in. I don't, which is really kind of an odd, because you think being born and having your foreskin removed and wearing your small hat is that's the initiation. So I don't know. But did you see the half in the bag that they did? Because I want to just get back to the diversity and the Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall, okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Diversity on screen, like bit that we were talking about a minute ago. I don't know. Did you see that?
They just was it the roundup one?
Yeah, the roundup.
I've been holding off and watching that.
Okay, well,
What happened in there?
Well, Jay talks about the Creed movie series for a moment, which is the it's basically the Rocky reboot, but it's just like it's a soft reboot based around the son of Apollo Creed. It's like, okay, you're taking Rocky away and giving it to niggers. Like, what's like? I don't want to watch. And he like sort of likes it. The first two Creed movies had Stallone in them, being his trainer, being the Mickey character, and then that doesn't happen anymore. And then in the third one, like his buddy is the Marvel nigger who's been arrested, and I don't know what's going on with him. Like, what's his name? Majors? Jonathan Majors?
Yeah, Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, and like that's and he's like a ne'er-do-well from his childhood who is in prison for all these years. Now he's coming out of prison as like a nigger who learns how to box, and then they have their boxing fight against each other, you know, as being his like whatever spiritual journey that is. But I just kind of wish, like, doesn't anybody besides me notice it? Like, hey, they're taking a beloved franchise that's about white people. Like, I wasn't part of the story of Rocky that he was like an overachieving white boy in a nigger sport. Like, that's why he beat Apollo Creed. Like, that was sort of the unspoken. And now it's just like, yeah, we're gonna reboot this and we're gonna give it back to niggers. And then Jay, what's his face, and Mike the Colossus are gonna sit there and watch. I'm like, yeah, you know, it was pretty good. I prefer the ones that have Stallone in them, but he's only out because of a money dispute, so no big deal. But it's like, why would anybody watch that shit? I would never watch like a feel good story about a nigger boxer, because it's like, we found a way to harness this nigger's like primal combat instinct to like make money off of it instead of just letting him go out and jack cars. Very gay.
I had to know. This guy's name is Tony Smotes.
Smotes.
He's like some kind of director.
Okay.
Theater director. Jesus, what a fucking Jewish face.
Smote stacks.
Smote stacks. That's very good.
Well, to what you're saying, Sven, I mean, I guess just my experience talking to average people, they just kind of have this implicit acceptance. In some movies, they have like this implicit acceptance of blackifying it. And they don't accept that for other movies. It kind of is, how much can they make that seem believable? And because for Americans, because they've grown up so much on black sports stars,
yeah,
and have had that shoved down their throat so much, it's easier for them to kind of accept that kind of stuff. Versus the example you were citing earlier of the black upper middle, like basically black John Hughes movies, essentially what they're trying to get people to accept.
Right,
it doesn't ring true to people.
And yeah, the Black John Hughes families are so horrible. But yeah, it's like, but the thing about it is it is still papering over a black issue. You've got a black athlete. Like his private life is not a spiritual journey to greatness through dedication and training. He's like, no, it's like he is on some level going to be a criminal, and he's going to get arrested for something. Or he's going to get in trouble for something. And whoever his minder is, whether it's the owner of a sports ball team, a coaching staff, a mentor in the form of his boxing manager, like somebody is shielding that guy from like the law enforcement encounters that he deserves. Like, that's how it goes. Like, all these guys have all this crazy shit, and but just making these, like, that's another sort of thing. And I just don't like, you know, it's another example of like, now we're moving on to like replacement for like of white representation. It's like, okay, your beloved character is now going to be the son of the nigger that Rocky beat. Just eat it up. And I'm just like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. And then there's other movies they talk about where it's like, they're like watching a horror movie where there's a new Scream movie, and they show the cast. They show the cast on screen, and it's like, okay, here we go. The Burger King Kids Club tries to solve a murder. It's like everybody. It's the literal meme of every main character represents a different like American mutt background, and I think the main person is the spick that took over the role of Wednesday Addams and whatever that. I think there's a Netflix show or something.
They're like infatuated with her. What is it? Jenny Ortega?
I'm not sure what her name is. But it's like, of course, like there's another white replacement. Right? Nobody complains about it because it's good. That's the thing. The Disney A-logs and those people, they don't complain about Wednesday Addams being race swapped because they're like, it's good. It works. It's like, why don't
well,
you complain
what
about
I think
that?
Is fascinating about that is that
oh, so they have Jenna Ortega in this too. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
they couldn't just like swap in a black person because that doesn't work. Like, people are not going to accept that as being like your lead actress. So we can't use a white person. So let's like use an off-white. Let's use like a Mexican or something.
Right.
Let's find something sort of like vaguely close. You know, like close enough that you might glance at her and think she's white for a second.
They blow
and
their...
that works for on audiences. That works for certain types of movies. But then when you get into stuff like Snow White, that's where it becomes jarring. They're kind of like tinkering with this. What's this level of visceral subconscious acceptance people will take in this in these movies? And some they have more acceptance for it than others.
Yeah.
It's I mean, I think they should go back to the Aliens model and they should just have a Jewish woman playing Hispanic.
Oh, yeah, the lesbian lady, right?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Bold move, Jew.
Aliens.
I mean, there's a good there's a good chance that the next president of Mexico is going to be a Jewish woman, so.
All right.
Well. I don't know, is that enough movie review nationalism? Have we done that bit?
Is there anything else about Terminator you got there?
Oh, right.
I got a little distracted because I saw that Israel was doing the same thing the FBI does.
Molesting boys?
Yes. But you know how whenever there's like a mass shooting or something, the FBI always comes out and says, suspect was known to the FBI.
Oh,
okay. Oh, they're saying that Hamas plan
Israel's
was
saying
known to
Israel
the
knew Hamas attack plan more than a year ago.
Wow, that's...
we knew it more than a year ago was going to happen.
So we're doing a 9/11 like there was chatter, but no one did anything. Or we're going to fuel the lie hop stuff. That's pretty gay.
It says Israeli officials obtained Hamas's battle plan for the October 7th terrorist attack more than a year before it happened. Documents, emails, and interviews show. But Israeli military and intelligence officials dismissed the plan as aspirational, considering it too difficult for Hamas to carry out. So it's like aspirational terrorism.
I suspect some of the stuff is coming out to try embarrass Netanyahu and push him out. That's what my suspicion would be on this.
Yeah. Either that or like, well, we're not that incompetent. No, we kind of knew about it. We just didn't do anything. We sort of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, because that is puts them in a difficult position because either option, you know, with the self-image that Israel likes to project to the world, especially to conservative-minded white people, they really want to project a, you know, this very forceful image of strength that they had. Mm-hmm. And so you have to cope with October 7th in one of two ways. Either they really were just completely caught off guard and surprised, which shows that they're not invincible, or they made an oopsie whoopsie fucky boo boo and they got to do something with that.
When you look at the way that, like, for example, the Zio boomers reacted to this, like, they're trying to simultaneously maintain frame here that Israel is, like, very powerful, has this elite, like, assassin unit, like Mossad is, like, this fucking MI6, like, commando team. But simultaneously, they got overwhelmed by Hamas on October 7th.
You can't have people saying things like, oh, a squirrel can't walk across that wall without being monitored. You can't say stuff like that and then have a good explanation for October 7th.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just BB. Like, it was just BB trying to get, like, lay the groundwork so he could respond and destroy Gaza. He's a genius. Now he has, the political capital to go and do that.
It's going great.
Yeah, it's going really well.
They kind of do this thing where it's like, oh, well, Israel was like sucker punched, and this was very unfair of Hamas to do this.
What?
Sneak attack.
A sneak attack.
At least that's the way I see people trying to like struggle with it whenever they talk about it in stupid Yahoo comment sections, like the chatter about this. I mean, it's a bad position for them to be in. Like, you had an open air prison, it's completely surrounded, cameras on like every fucking inch of it, right? And then you get overwhelmed. The prisoners escaped.
You want to watch
it? It is funny that a lot of the types of people that talk about glassing the Middle East only want to talk about, like, well, you're not fighting fair. When
now let's when people while we're back. On the subject of the Israelis and their response to Hamas, I have a funny thing. My daughter was watching this movie yesterday, and I died laughing at this scene. This is The Hunger Games. Mockingjay.
I want the rebels to know that I'm alive. That I'm in District 8. where the Capitol just bombed a hospital filled with unarmed men, women, and children. And there will be no survivors.
District 9? I see a lot of black people.
So, clearly Hollywood's just anti-Semitic. They're putting these anti-Israeli anti-Semitic canards in their films.
Look, like, clearly we can't trust Katniss here. What's the source for that? Oh, no. That was a Katniss rocket that misfired. She bombed her own hospital.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. Oh. This is what they do, and we must fight back.
Okay. Thank you, Katniss.
You know, the Katnissinians aren't even real people.
District 12, it's not even real. They're just like Jordanian refugees. They're just from District 13.
100 years ago, no, they weren't even using the name Katniss at all.
I like how District 12 or whatever. Of the hospital is like a movie trope. Like, how would we do something just comically evil? Well, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll have them bomb a hospital.
I think the plot of this film. Happened. I think the plot of this film is they're doing a rebellion finally after the Hunger Game and this event like galvanizes the rebel cause to go fight. It's like because they bomb the hospital. I just found that. I just thought it was goddamn hilarious.
McNabb, you know what other movie involved bombing a hospital as well? The Dark Knight.
It's true.
That was funny and quirky. Yeah. Remember the Joker and his like nurse outfit, like trying to work the detonator.
Yeah,
and going like that.
Actually, I think that was something that they came up with on the spot there, and it worked.
Yeah. Well, also there was I guess we're doing like movie trivia. Like the reaction of Heath Ledger when the hospital finally does blow up is genuine because the special effects had failed and he was just kind of standing there trying to figure it out and then it started exploding and he just naturally reacted.
So what you're telling me is he can't actually act? I always thought that was like a brilliant performance. Now I know better. I hate when that happens. It's like, oh, he actually is just like the stupid gay cowboy rom-com guy.
Oh wow! That's like that that Spanish actor, No Country for Old Men. He did like nothing, but I think it was like rom com type stuff. And yeah. Prior to that role, he was like a soap opera guy or something.
Yeah, that was another. I remember that was a very early instance of like, what do they need this beaner for? They couldn't find like they couldn't find an actor I've heard of to play this role. Like they had to go because he was like in novelas and shit like that. It's like you gotta like this is what the. That was like 2006, and that wasn't even like the prime, like fucking, that wasn't the prime concern back then.
Well, hold up a second. He's not like a Mexican man. He's legit Spanish.
What they're doing with this is they get these Spanish actors and make you think, well, that's what Mexicans look like.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole idea like, to me. Like I guess that's my conspiratorial hat. Like they seek out specific Spanish actors like Javier Bardem and Antonio Banderas, and they plant the idea in the Americans' mind because a lot of them also end up playing like Mexican type characters in different films. So it puts the idea in your head that Mexicans are just they're just Spanish people and like those people still exist but they tend to be the elite down there and they move they send their trash up here to us.
Yeah, they send us Danny Trejo. I think that's his name.
Yep. Yeah, Danny Trejo is very obviously some kind of mestizo or cholo.
Oh my god, is there a lower tier than that? He's just a fucking Indio. I don't know where that is on the scale. He looks like he should be. He doesn't even look Mexican. He looks like he should be in Westerns playing the Indian chief.
Well, so half and half is mestizo.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
3/4 Indio, 1/4 European is Cholo, and then full is just Indio.
Yeah. I mean, he just looks Indio. Like I'm a fucking.
I don't know how
you
kept track of that. What you
oh
just
my
described.
God, Danny Trejo is Robert Rodriguez's second cousin.
Huh. That would explain a few things.
They have their own nepotism.
All right. At age 7, Trejo participated in his first drug deal. He was first arrested at the age of 10.
Did you say at age 7?
Yeah. Throughout the 1960s, Trejo's life consisted predominantly of intermittent jail stints in the California prison system.
You know, he did that Robert Rodriguez movie, I think it was part of the Grindhouse series, where it was basically about killing white people that wanted to stop illegal immigration. It was an illegal immigrant rebellion against Texas or something. I don't remember the full details of it because it was a very long time ago when I watched it once, but I remember being very well disgusted with that. Like, this is supposed to be this great thing. Here's this, like, comic book style hero from a horror film. Not even a horror film, just like an action exploitation film. And the target is white Americans who want a secure border in Texas.
Oh, I know what you're talking. Machete?
Yeah, Machete. Was it actual movie or was it just a trailer? I think it was you know, I don't remember now.
I think it started, it was a fake trailer first. I think they actually made it into an actual film.
Yeah, then they made it, right? So I don't actually care that much. That's why I don't know. But yeah, I remember Machete. I think they fleshed it out because I feel like I've seen it.
It started as a fake trailer, and then they made a film series out of it.
Right. Highly anti-white.
But of course, listen to this life story of his. Throughout the 1960s, Trejo's life consisted predominantly of intermittent jail stints in the California prison system. The accounts of his prison chronology, though, are notably conflicting. By one account, his final term in custody is said to have ended in 1972. However, Trejo did time in various juvenile offenders camps, including 3 years at Camp Glen Rocky, San Dimas, for maiming a sailor, stabbing him in the face with broken glass.
Oh my God!
Followed by numerous California prisons between 1959 and 1969. I was in San Quentin, Folsom, Soledad, Vacaville, Susanville, Sierra. While doing a stint in Los Angeles County Jail in 1961, he met Charles Manson, whom he described as a dirty, greasy, scrawny white boy who was allegedly a talented hypnotist.
I stabbed the man instead in San Dimas just to watch him cry.
Trejo arrived at San Quentin in 1966, and his heroin use was exacerbated shortly thereafter. He was a debt collector and drug dealer, often participating in or witnessing acts of serious violence, including murder. Yeah, so let's just give him a film career.
Who's his agent?
He's a method actor.
Was this just like challenge method, accepted? We'll make this guy into an actor? Jesus. I had no idea. I heard he had been in jail, but I didn't know his story was this fucking. That's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, not just in jail. He did like the Holocaust camp tour of the jail system.
Well, he did the repeated
all of them.
He's a super predator. He just goes around the West fucking maiming people. And then I guess the answer was like, well, what if we let him just act like he's maiming people? We'll give him a machete and put him in front of a camera.
But to be fair, it looks like he may have been maimed himself a few times.
Yeah, maybe somebody stabbed him with a piece of glass. Fucking Christ.
A lot of times in the face. I mean, damn.
You want to be pretty ripped for when you get stabbed with a piece of glass.
I guess so. You want to make sure your rap sheet is nice and long for when you get cast in a really good movie like Heat.
All right, so anyway, Javier Bardem and Danny Trejo. Not even slightly related, by the way. They're not. No. They're not genetically similar at all. We're talking two completely different
So Bardem is actually a Spaniard?
Yeah, he's a Spaniard.
Okay. And he comes from a long line of Spaniard-like film people.
Okay, so that explains a little better.
Right, and what I thought was kind of funny is after No Country for Old Men, all of these retards thought they were going to like typecast him in that same role again and again and again. Mm-hmm. They even put him in like a Pirates of the Caribbean movie at one point.
Hey, Jesus.
Like playing a ghost version of himself from No Country for Old Men. It's like, come on, stop!
Yeah, I have no idea what happened to him. I didn't follow him.
Yeah.
Wow, well, shit. So,
are we done the movies here?
Yeah, do we have any real prep now? We've burned a half hour out.
Well, the other thing from Israel is they're publishing a map to advise Gazans of safe evacuation areas. Which I assume it's like the map just has like X's where they've got their artillery aimed.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, like,
stand here.
Yeah, go this way.
Stand here and wait for the flash.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of cartoonish supervillains, I mean, one of them did just pass.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, we should all celebrate that. Henry Kissinger, tragically short.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
His life tragically cut short at 100 years of fucking like fucking up America in foreign policy for Israel.
I shit you not, a week before this happened, I saw a meme on Instagram, and it was the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
And he's got one of those, is it one of those machines?
The claw machine.
Like, damn it, is Henry Kissinger even in this thing?
I saw one the other, I saw one yesterday, I was like, holy crap, I got Henry Kissinger. Like, just the claw. But it's like,
I shit you not, I saw the original meme like just a few days ago of him not being able to find Kissinger, and now it happened. We need more memes like that.
The absurdity of even celebrating this, I don't care if like people want to make memes about it and say like good riddance, that's fine. But I mean, there's nothing meaningful to any of this. The guy was working right up to the point he died. I mean, it's he would. You don't get any satisfaction from this, and he lived for so long that Jacobin Magazine had written an obituary years ago, had it printed, and were just sitting on it for years until he finally died. Like they had the stock that they were sitting on because they couldn't release it yet. He was so old that his obituary writer for the New York Times died before he did.
That's the
headline. They had the obituary ready to go.
That's the headline I've got right here. Henry Kissinger was so old that he outlived one of his New York Times obituary writers. And there's the photo of him looking miserable. He outlived the New York Times journalist who helped write his obituary. The writer died in 2010.
Favorite headline is "Beloved War Criminal Dead at 100."
Where did that come from? That's a good one.
The Rolling Stone or something.
We should let's drill into that Rolling Stone. What makes him a war criminal?
I'm sure it's going to be the Nixon bombing Cambodia stuff, but I'm kind of curious where they're going with it.
Yeah, I'll have to pull up the article, because Rolling Stone is basically just the U.S. State Department anyway, so it's kind of funny to see them even post that headline. Well,
it's like a Zionist rag. Do you guys talk about bands anymore? Why don't you write me another story about Led Zeppelin instead of fucking your thoughts on Henry Kissinger?
Rolling Stone was the publication that published that whole fake UVA hoax, rape hoax story.
Mm-hmm.
UVA rape hoax story. Was that?
I just, whenever I read Rolling Stone, I just assume that Jews in the State Department are behind their editor.
War criminal beloved by America's ruling class. It has a little different flavor to it. It's who is America's ruling class? Who is that? And in what way does this relate to Henry Kissinger and the sort of class he belongs to? Is there a connection?
Oh, it's written. Did you see who wrote this?
Spencer Ackerman.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's somebody I can trust. I wonder if he works as a security guard at a Cyberdyne laboratory.
Well, he works as a security guard for the regime.
Measuring purely by confirmed kills, the worst mass murderer ever executed by the United States was the white supremacist terrorist Timothy McVeigh. On April 19th, blah blah blah, confirmed 168 people. The government killed McVeigh. Okay. Get to the part where you, McVeigh, who is in his own psychotic way, thought he was saving America, never remotely killed on the scale of Kissinger, the most revered American grand strategist of the second half of the 20th century. So we're gonna conflate him with Timothy McVeigh.
Well, that's always the play whenever there's somebody that you, because Spencer Ackerman's Jewish himself, obviously.
Sure.
Whenever there's a Jew that they have to throw under the bus, they find a way to tie it to white supremacists.
So that's Ackerman right there on screen.
Seeker.
Yeah, I was thinking about McNabb's whole Jewish security guard from T2 thing, and he could play the role. He really could play the role of a security guard in Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
No infamy will find Kissinger on a day like today. Instead, a demonstration of why he was able to kill so many people and get away with it. The day of his passage will be a solemn one in Congress, and shamefully, since Kissinger had reporters like CVS's Marvin Kalb and the New York Times' Hendrik Smith wiretapped newsrooms. Kissinger, a refugee.
Did you say
from
CVS? What does CVS have to do with this?
Why not Walgreens?
That's because Kissinger's rap sheet is as long as the CVS.
Let's see. Kissinger, a refugee from the Nazis who became a pedigreed member of the Eastern establishment. I love the scare quotes around
Eastern establishment.
What about the Middle Eastern establishment that Nixon hated? Was a practitioner of American greatness. And so the press lionized him as the cold-blooded genius who restored Americans' prestige from the agony of Vietnam. So it's just like the BAP crowd are just like reading this and like furiously masturbating, busting on themselves.
Yeah, because I found this. I found this Twitter account called BAP Cell Slayer.
BAP Cell Slayer.
BAP Cell _ Slayer.
All right. Okay. Fine, we'll do that. I mean, I should just get my drops out because, like, every time you read one of these things, this is like
wonderful.
I was like, I had heard through the grapevine that there was eulogizing among quote unquote right wingers on Twitter, but I didn't really go look it out. So I was kind of
digging around for it.
I found this.
The place that you can really use rightoids to sort of smuggle Zionism into all of their bullshit is foreign policy. And it's like, but with rightoids, for whatever reason, they're just bloodthirsty bastards that like when America blows stuff up. They don't care about why. They don't care about who. They don't care about what the objectives are. We saw this with, like, when Donald Trump finally showed his ass and he bombed the runway in Syria. The conservative voters were just up in arms, like, yay, finally a president with balls. You know, they don't know why that missile strike took place. They don't know what it accomplished. They don't care. They just know that here was a country that is Muslim, that had some tangential involvement with the war on terror, but not really, because we never really directly attacked them before. And we're just going to hurl missiles at it, and everyone just applaud because something blew up and America did it. They have no idea what's going on. So you can always get them, and that's basically how they can look at Henry Kissinger. Kissinger is somebody who organized a lot of things blowing up. We're not going to analyze how, why, or for who, or for what purpose. We're just going to be like, wow, he lived for a really long time, and he was good at blowing. He was good at having presidents like blow things up. So anyway,
yeah.
Well, so Kissinger. So this thread starts with the guy is quote tweeting Michael Tracy, who pulled up this op-ed from Kissinger back in 2002, our intervention in Iraq, and here's the highlighted portions. The new approach is revolutionary. Regime change as a goal for military intervention challenges the international system established by the 1648 Treaty of Westphalia. There is another generally unstated reason for bringing matters to a head with Iraq. The attack on the World Trade Center had roots in many parts of the Islamic and especially the Arab world. It would not have been possible but for the tacit cooperation of societies that, in the words of George W. Bush, oppose terror but tolerate the hatred that produces terror. While long-range U.S. strategy must try to overcome legitimate causes of those resentments, immediate policy must demonstrate that a terrorist challenge or a systemic attack on the international order produces catastrophic consequences for the perpetrators, as well as for their supporters, tacit or explicit. The overthrow of the Iraq regime and, at a minimum, the eradication of its weapons of mass destruction would have potentially beneficent political consequences as well. The so-called Arab Street might conclude that the negative consequences of jihad outweigh any potential benefits.
Which is ironic, because in Iraq, what was really going on, like, there basically was a sort of peace over there. Everything was under, you know, Saddam was a dictator. He was doing the Arab nationalism, and everything was just kind of under control. But the Israelis wanted to destroy and create chaos in the region. So this is just one of the regimes they toppled, and now it's chaos. And it resulted with, like, all the ISIS stuff. But I
might understand this theory correctly is that there's terrorism enablers in the Middle East.
Right.
And therefore the best way to get rid of them is to bomb them a bunch.
Yes, Michael Tracy sums it up right here. Despite being reputed for realism, Kissinger offered a grand ideological rationale for invading Iraq, writing that while Bush's preemptive war doctrine would overturn the 1648 Treaty of Westphalia, it was necessary payback for 9/11 and may even convince Arabs to renounce jihad. And this is what I was going to say earlier, is that this is how they tend to sneak neoconservatism into pro-white communities or ideologues or what have you. They make this quasi disingenuous white supremacist argument on a foreign policy basis for why that. And you have the Grug level basically of like glassing the Middle East and yeah. Kill those sand niggers. But on the higher level for the more intellectual set, it's going to be about the kind of argument that Kissinger is making, is that you have to bomb them into renouncing their systemic forms of terror.
Right. What an interesting position to have for a guy who's basically a spokesperson for this tiny little nation that wants to rule the world and has a puppet nation in the United States to help them do it. You know, it's like, what a funny thing to say. It's like, oh, our enemies, what we really need to do is just like, fucking like just destroy them, just genocide them in their lands, and also we'll take the people that live there and we'll have them emigrate as refugees to other countries that we want to wreck, but more quietly. We'll do that, okay? Don't tell anybody about a bunch of Iraqis and Pakistanis and anything else, like where they show up in France and Germany and anywhere else they can. Like, make sure you don't tie that to this conflict. It's a big secret. Just be racist to them when they're there and don't look at the root cause.
Right? It's like, it's such a grand
plan. SMR.
Oh, do you want me to like...
Yeah.
Nah.
Make noise, make like,
no,
I'll make
don't need to keep going.
I'll make like tongue noises and creepy like spit sounds. That's what the people want, right? That's what people want.
But the way these people also run cover for Kissinger is that then they point to this one quote he has, like, well, basically if I wasn't born Jewish, I'd be anti-Semitic. Like, look, he was based.
How is that based?
He's being honest about Jews.
Yeah, because he's
about
so
being a Jew.
Because he's so
and
fucking,
being a Jew.
But that's like saying if I wasn't born a rapist.
Still listening to this version of the Daily Showa? Still haven't subscribed? Please go over to therightstuff.biz/paywall, grab a subscription, and you won't be interrupted with these sales pitches ever again. But it's also just like he's
anti-rapist.
He's also just so powerful that he gets away with it and it doesn't matter. Like, what, like, has that quote like convinced anybody what's going on? No, because it's just like he says that it's an applause line, it's a laugh line, and you go back to like doing your super Zionism. And
no, it's funny that you do the Venture Brothers bit, because considering that there was a character based off of him in that show, Dr. Henry Killinger,
yeah,
his magical murder bag.
Killinger.
That's a good one.
But so then Bapsell Slayer.
Oh,
so
man.
The fact that so many.
Hold on. Should we call the show the Kissinger Escape Plan? The Killinger, Dillinger.
Oh, yes.
Let me put that right up on the top of my notes. The Kissinger Escape Plan. That's quite funny.
Yeah, all I had written down was the Middle Eastern Establishment. But yeah, the Kissinger Escape Plan. That's the show title.
So, all right. Keep reading. I'm going to be listening, but I must use the little boys' room.
Dasha Nekrasova Groiper, who goes at Bapsell Slayer, writes that as a foreign policy mind, George Kennan, who opposed the Iraq War and accurately predicted its fallout, was superior to Henry Kissinger in every way. Yet dullards like Fisted Foucault, that's Niccolo Sallo, mm-hmm. and Anna Kachion, who's the post-left Red Scare girl, have spent the last 48 hours filleting Kissinger as a world historical genius. The fact, and then he has this screen cap of an Anna tweet. I will be tweeting pro-Kissinger content for the next few days to counter the stream of insufferable takes from leftoids, such as this portrait by Avedon, where you can see that he has an extremely intelligent face in spite of being short and not that handsome. So Bapsell Slayer writes, the fact that so many within the mostly Jewish Bapsphere are inflating Kissinger's reputation is more proof of how Jews relentlessly promote members of their own tribe, hence the perception of more Jewish geniuses. White Gentiles don't do this and suffer for it.
Yeah. Bapsell Slayer, Jesus. I'm not sure which social media platform I hate the most right now. They're all bad.
Yeah.
They're all terrible, full of awful people. They get relentlessly promoted.
I mean, if you just use it to look at stuff that doesn't matter, it's a lot of fun. You just follow like wrestling drama or
mm-hmm.
look at like stuff like your casual interest there with the battle mechs or whatever the fuck they're called. Like then it can be kind of okay. You just got to watch out because you're always going to run into a tranny somewhere.
Well, yeah, I don't know. To me, Twitter feels like a minefield. I mean, I know I've said this before, asked this question before. I don't understand why companies use Twitter, because you're essentially like on the LinkedIn for conflict entrepreneurs, and you're just going to be dealing with some sort of bullshit. They're gonna try to brigade you, right? Like, if you're running a business, you're going to have all these demands that you like take a stand against such and such a person. I mean,
well, you know what happened with Kellogg's and Tony the Tiger, right?
No.
So Kellogg's, like, you have to imagine who it was that was just trying to like run this nice little, like, here's my job. I'm the corporate brand person at Kellogg's. Tony the Tiger's our most well-known mascot. We'll do a Twitter account for him. We have to engage in the conversation. We just got to put it out there, put our brand out there. Their the Tony the Tiger Twitter was nothing but pornographic replies from furries.
What the fuck? Yeah, checks out. Yeah,
internet. Checks. I think it was Hit Internet Historian has a whole video on it.
Oh man,
of just these weird, horny degenerates.
What did
just
they
making
do?
Sexually harassing. They were sexually harassing Tony the Tiger.
Did they take down their Tony the Tiger account? Like what?
I think they just stopped posting eventually.
Or was it just like maybe locked it or something? I don't know that. But yeah, that goes to my question though. Of like, well, as a business, what the fuck do you get out of being on Twitter other than shit like that?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It's like you need to look at who is on Twitter. This would be like, I don't know, to use another example, Telegram. It'd be like trying to run a business on Telegram. You don't want to do that. Terrible place to try to get customers.
Yeah, it's that is, you do not. Twitter has never, in every iteration, Twitter has never been a place to basically to do any kind of legacy corporate brand awareness of things. It's just it's a place to be abused, and there are people that can grow. You can grow brands there, but it's not going to be within the traditional means of the way companies have grown their brands.
I feel like you would need special training just to, if you're the corporate PR person, if like you're at Marcoms or whatever. You need a lot of training on how to deal with being on Twitter.
You need to be an extremely online abrasive, awful person. And being one of those people, myself, I could farm my services out very easily to any corporate Twitter. I'm going to tell them, like, it's going to get really weird and it's going to get really nasty. And I will be in fights every single day with the people in your replies. But believe me, I will grow your brand.
Also, Kellogg, you're going to just have to deal with the fact that Tony Tiger is not gay. It's not.
Oof.
He's not a gay tiger.
That's gross.
Well, tell that to the people sending replying to Tony the Tiger.
and then you got the tranny stuff on Twitter. Oh my god, I'd forgotten all about that. I got back on Twitter and I was like, what the fuck is with all these goddamn trannies? It's like dudes. There's like two separate groups, right? You got like the young autistic person, like somewhere in their teens, early 20s, and then you've got like 35 to 45.
Oh my
like
god,
that's the other group.
I hate to go back to the politics at hand, but I can't tell if this reply is joking or not. This reply to Michael Tracy's post says, Iraq had to pay for 9/11 one way or another. We couldn't just let them get away with it scot-free. And just like confused responses after that, like, wait, what? he says, the editorial makes it clear. I can't tell if he's joking or not.
Yeah, that's... I can see myself doing a very subtle, deadpan, sarcastic way of that, but it's extremely hard to tell if
okay.
You don't know what that person's like.
Okay, I think he's joking, because eventually he says, obviously you can use the Biden-Kissinger ideology to justify invading any Arab country that isn't paying your politicians, extended families, and your military contractor industry sufficient tribute. That's why they invented the ideology. Okay. I mean,
okay, so he was being deadpan sarcastic. Okay. Yeah,
it was very well done.
Either way on that.
Well done, Brian. What is it? His account is Brian. What flag is this? Is that a Mexican flag next to an Israeli flag? And see, it's one of those flags with like it's a green stripe, a white stripe, and a red stripe. And I was like, is that Italy, Mexico, Iran, or like which country? There's, I don't know. That color scheme always confuses me. It's too small. But it says he's a patriotic anti-Biden Democrat.
That's Mexican. I can see the little eagle in the middle.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought because of the eagle. It says COVID negative, Milgram negative, Ash negative, and Zimbardo negative. Confirmed by blood tests. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, so it's Danny Trejo's like soccer counter.
Oh, there's yours. Kenny Christensen's even in this thing. It says Pope.
Yeah, that's the one. That's
That's funny. So that was a very good. One. That was a very good performance, Brian. He can't let a rat get away with this. Yes, he got a couple people. Iraq had absolutely positively nothing to do with 9/11. What a mystery it is, then. Who could possibly have been responsible?
You know, the worst thing about Henry Kissinger was the hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. Oh, God. So there's I'm on the Michael Tracy tweet. What else was there? You were back on this.
I'm looking to see what's trending today, and it says 105 Republicans is trending. Can we get to 106?
Are they dead?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, were they all in a plane crash or a pile up on the highway?
Well, see, I have under politics. Listen, McNabb, under politics trending, I have hashtag poop map.
Now, that's a map I'm not sure I can enjoy. Poop map. I'll not be forwarding that to MapChat.
Oh, I see here.
Oh, my God. Okay, I think this is a DeSantis thing. I think we have
it is DeSantis, yes. They're going to spell him.
Oh, now Sandra Day O'Connor's dead. She's trying to story top Kissinger. You know, the former Supreme Court justice. She was a moderate conservative nominated by Reid. Another one of these, like, Reagan cucks were like, never mind.
We're doing a lot of 1990s nostalgia. I mentioned Terminator 2, and I've got Sandra Day O'Connor.
Mm.
Not to be confused with Sarah Connor.
Sandra Day O'Connor in the Terminator. She's the swing vote on if Skynet's going to go live or not.
So what do we got here with our buddy DeSantis? I've never seen a bigger burn during a debate in my entire life. I'm still laughing. Pure savagery from Ron DeSantis. The poop map. Oh, is it the poop map of San Francisco? All right, so why is he debating Gavin Newsom? What's going on?
He needs it. This is a map of San Francisco. There's a lot of plots on that. You may be asking, what is that plotting? Well, this is an app where they plot the human feces that are found on the streets of San Francisco. And you see how almost the whole thing is covered, because that is what has happened in one of the previous greatest cities this country's ever had. Human feces is now a fact of life, except when a communist dictator comes to town.
They're crying about she still.
Found a way to ruin it.
God. Then they cleaned up the
streets. How about when the leader of a real country comes around? That's what I would say.
Up the streets. They lined the streets with Chinese flags. They didn't put American flags there. They cleaned everything up.
The American flag should be taken down all over the country.
They also have really good Chinese food in San Francisco. Do they line the streets with that? That's what all the human feces is. It's all from all the good... Well, a good Kung Pao chicken or
the human feces thing is real. My wife was there and she parked right on human feces. It was a fun day of cleaning the car.
Well, I know I've seen the poop map app before, so I know that's real. But yeah.
Okay, so at that point, if you're working in a region that is covered in human feces, then why not just work abroad in like another country?
Well, I would love to know, like, the clip just ends. I'd love to know what Newsom had to say to that. It must be something.
Yeah, would.
You know, all of my 80s and 90s movies that had like the California dystopia never really focused very much on the feces.
No, I don't think there was any shit like on the ground in Blade Runner. Like, I don't remember them like him like chasing those replicants around and like just dodging turds. It always seemed like they're always very they're sure footing the entire way.
Yeah, like the T-800, you know, with the skeletal foot. Crushes a human skull. It doesn't like step in a pile of shit.
Right. Or in the
That's the funny thing about. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was gonna say like that old South Park episode where I think I can't remember if it was the Brovlovskis moved to San Francisco and they're all driving Priuses and huffing their own farts. They're just huffing their own farts out of smugness, and it creates a smug cloud that is an environmental. They don't have like. There's no actual turds. Like, there's not an environmental catastrophe from shit being on the ground. It's just farts. So it's like, this is really like they've. California stepped up its game with the, you know, in the excrement department. Moved on from, first it was just gas, now it's actual solids. It's good shit. Oh, wow. No pun intended. What were you going to say, Borzoi?
Oh, yeah, just like with dystopias, there's always one of two flavors. It's basically, this is the cleanest place you've ever seen, but a dark secret exists beneath. Or, yeah, this is kind of grimy and smoky, but it's still pretty clean, actually.
I think like what we the civilized people, we take plumbing for granted. Because I remember when I remember watching that old like Vice travel guide to God, which African country was that? With like General Butt Naked and all that stuff.
Liberia. That's Liberia. Liberia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember like I knew like what I was going to was what I was going to be getting into as far as talking about like black warlords and their little armies slaughtering each other and like everyone having malaria and the church stuff. But I remember like I remember being the most shocked by they were using the beach as a toilet. It's like that was just that it's never occurred to me like, oh yeah, it's like a giant litter box and there's sand and I guess you would just go shit there. And then I remember there were more news stories I'd see through the years where like African governments were trying to get people to please stop shitting on the beaches. But like you just
Indians
can't.
Are doing that too.
Yeah, you just can't. It's like that's to an uncivilized person, that's just a toilet. So like it never occurs to people like Americans, like, oh man, where does all the poop go when stuff isn't functioning anymore? And your answer is in San Francisco. I was like, well, it just goes on the sidewalk. The real question is, like, in San Francisco, what happens when they stop even? Because I believe it, at this point, they still try to clean it up, don't they? Or is it just when president, well, just when a communist dictator comes and visits?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like one of those situations where, like, a token effort is made, but nothing really fundamentally changes because you have to go to actual, you have to solve actual systemic problems that you can't do, so.
Yeah.
You know, you just put another whitewash over the turd stain and go about your day.
It's just when a civilization gets to that point where you've got a human shit problem, how do you roll that back?
Yeah, I don't remember Joseph Tainter talking about the shit problem quite as much in the collapse of complex societies. That he might need to do a revised edition and talk a little bit more about the poop factor.
Yeah, I mean, he would have predicted this, but he didn't focus on it.
You just assume it's like, well, yeah, collapsing civilization just has a poop problem.
Well,
a human waste problem.
And the problem is like San Francisco, we're talking about Americans here. So can they even be solidaristic enough to like have designated shitting streets? No, like they're too individualistic. They just have to. There is no designated shitting street. I'm an American and I shit wherever I want. That's how they've been brought up culturally. So it's like you can't even organize it on that level. Forget about the designated shitting beach, or forget about like. Digging a latrine in the middle of hey, what's up? You know you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener funded. They are funded with your subscriptions. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks. You know, like a main street to you is like, you know, it's just chaos. It's just rugged individualism toilet, you know.
Oppositional bowel syndrome.
Oppositional defiant bowel syndrome. Bowel disorder.
Instead of that, don't tread on me flag. It's just be a big turd. Don't step on me.
Just a gold flag with like a gold flag with a skid mark on it because you used it to wipe.
This is America. I shit where I want. I thought this was America.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So back to DeSantis. Not DeSantis. Santos. George Santos.
Yeah.
George DeSantos.
Yeah. Has he been expelled or something?
Yeah. So there's only, up until this point, there's only been five people that were expelled. Three of these people were fighting for the Confederacy. I mean, that's some bullshit, expelling somebody for fighting for the Confederacy. Anyway, the fourth one was Michael Myers. I assume he was expelled for killing a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He literally ruined.
You can't really be stabbing teenagers. You can molest the teenagers. You can't stab them on the Senate floor.
Oh, God. Very good. That's terrible.
James Traficant. I like just very vaguely remember that guy. I mean, I was young at the time whenever he was expelled. It was like what, 19?
He was
yeah, they got him on corruption stuff, but a lot, I mean, there's a lot of speculation because of his defense of John Demjanjuk and other comments he made that it was, you know, he was both expelled and also possibly assassinated. That's much more conspiratorial, but for that kind of stuff. Cynthia McKinney, when we had her on the People's Square, talked about her experiences with Jim Traficant. She had a lot of very nice things to say about him.
I like how George Santos, they've got the reason is listed as alleged misuse of campaign funds, which I guess when you look back in the future at the history of the thing, you see that it's kind of feels like it papers over what actually was going on here.
Well, yeah, no. This is well known. It's all, they always get you on procedural shit. Like that's like, I mean, that they've been we've been talking about that as a society of getting people on procedural shit since Al Capone and tax evasion.
Well, that was just, they don't really want to talk about what he was into and what he was doing. Yeah. What he was into and doing the same kind of things everybody else. Because, I mean, like, you cannot misuse campaign funds any more than a single sole proprietor can embezzle money from his business. It's just that's just not a thing. You can't embezzle from yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. you can't misuse campaign funds because it's just your money. Like, if you, I remember hearing this a while ago, if you're a politician and you retire with money still in your campaign war chest, that's just yours now. You just get to keep it.
So, yeah, you just won the lottery. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just like, that's your small campaign business.
That's your Christmas bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. No comment.
A Christmas bonus.
Speaking of being so alienated from like movies, like I remember when, like when Christmas bonuses were a thing that they talked about movies. Mm-hmm. Like I never saw Christmas bonus for my
family. Let me tell you, I worked one time for a company in North Carolina, and they replaced air filters and stuff at these big institutions. It was an easy job, didn't pay that great, but it was an easy job. They would give you like a ham, like you would get like a Christmas ham and stuff.
I do remember the Christmas hams. I do remember.
I'd appreciate it.
I mean, it was so old school. I mean, that was about 15 years ago. Of course, you would never you never dream of seeing that now.
There was a wholesale company that we dealt with at the store, my father and I. They eventually, like, they used to give away all this stuff, and by the time I was there, it was like they would bring you a gallon paint can that was filled with chocolate chip cookies. That was like how far it had fallen to, like, thank you for doing business with us all year. It used to be like rebates and free shit. They've dumped it all the way down.
Imagine getting a Christmas bonus and a Christmas ham, presents.
Here's a gallon of store-bought cookies.
Enjoy. I mean, if you bring me like a honeyed ham, fuck it, I'll work for $5 an hour.
How about a Christmas bonus? Tell you what. You can have one ailment treated by a doctor this year. Merry Christmas. You can have a follow-up appointment with no copay.
We're not gonna pay for the whole thing. We'll do halfsies. We'll go Dutch on this.
We'll go Dutch on your crippling medical condition.
I was looking at the there's a local rescue squad, which they're not volunteer, they're paid, and they were offering things like dental care. They were offering stuff like, believe it or not, they were even offering health care coverage.
How?
Imagine that.
Don't they want to make money
offering health care?
How are you supposed to make money putting out people's fires and rescuing sick people if you're giving out health care?
I know. And they were even paying a competitive wage. And I was like, this country is in serious trouble.
Wow. How are they getting away with that?
Look how far we have fallen.
Are they some kind of like front for a drug cartel or something? How is this possible? They're just looking for like write-offs for laundering the funds? Like, all right, we got to send it to the fucking, what was it called? Like the Jeb Stuart fucking rescue fucking foundation.
I mean, I was working in the good old American traditional days where they'd pay you about 10, 12 bucks an hour, right? And you got nothing.
Well, is $25 an hour just minimum wage now because everything is so expensive?
Yeah, probably.
It's probably just what it is. I remember being outraged at the thought of a $15 minimum wage, and then I was like, okay, pricing like 2 years ago kind of caught up to that. Like now that your gas is $4 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's fair. For once, they got ahead of it. Normally you have like price inflation goes out of control, and then like a few years after that, they come through with the minimum wage shit, but. Actually, that I don't even think that was countrywide. That was a couple of states did that. So I'm talking out my ass as usual. What I do here.
What I remember was that, particularly in the EMS field, that the trade-off was like, do you want to get paid a decent hourly wage or do you want health care? Do you want benefits? Huh. You can have one, but not both.
God,
unless you're
fucking country.
Working for... Anyway.
This country fucking sucks.
This country, I think, seems to be in some serious trouble when it comes to their... shortage of like actual functional human beings capable of doing a job properly. Like the labor shortage appears to be very real because I'm seeing a response from companies in terms of like raising their wages and trying to offer more benefits. Like, you know, things have got to be really in the shitter for them to do that.
Well, I don't know what else we got here. Probably just take a break.
You ready to go to break, or you want to talk about Rod Dreher?
Oh, let's do Rod Dreher when we come back, because I'm sure we're going to revel in that for quite a while. Rod Dreher. I mean, you know, I remember the first time somebody brought up Rod Dreher, and I remember being like, you know, I know that what we have to do is take the piss out of the conservative movement because of how anti-racist and thus anti-white it is, and how it's not on our side. But do we really need to cover what this obscure retard says? And like, ever since then, it's just been just like a gold mine of just lolcow retarded like stuff that there's nothing makes me happier than some good Rod Dreher ownage. He truly is. The problem is, like, he's irrelevant and pointless, but he's, the trade-off is he's so funny and so so enraging in his wrongness that it's fun to do. So I'm glad.
It's because he lacks self-awareness.
Yeah.
And he put, like, I mean, the primitive root wiener is kind of the pinnacle of that. Like, why would you? And then he thought, like, he could own it by leaning into it. It's like, this is just really sad.
Well, that's what funny people do, right? They make a little embarrassing faux pas like that, and they lean into it, and they turn it into a meme, right? Well, it's like, well, your meme is you and your friends standing around, staring at a prepubescent nigger boy's dick. Right? Isn't that basically the scenario that led to primitive rumors?
Yeah, because it was the first time he ever saw a uncircumcised penis.
But not the last. This was the only uncircumcised black cock I've ever seen. Okay. Please no please no clipping. I'm scare quoting Rod Dreher. I don't even know. What was that even necessary to describe that? My God. Primitive root wiener.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was an article on I think it had something to do with circumcision. So
at least it was on fucking topic slightly. It's just creepy and strange.
Sort of, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he was doing a review of a book, I think, of by a Jew, and somehow like the topic of circumcision came into it, as I recall. It was something like that.
And instead of taking a position on the brutal fucking practice, he just tells an anecdote about a weird, like...
No, I think he's pro-circumcision. I think he's pro-circumcision.
But it's like, I'm going to share you this, like, semi-creepy fucking anecdote from my childhood. That's what this brings to mind. Like, dear God. Fucking weirdo.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought it was, because he wrote an article called Gary Steingart's Gentile Region. He was doing a review of some Jew's book, and then he opens it up. I have never given circumcision a single thought. Other than to consent to my son's circumcision.
Clearly, you gave zero thought if you consented to it. Okay, so Sandra Day O'Connor was the first female Supreme Court justice. That's why we're going to pretend to make a big deal. I'd forgotten all about her. But here she is.
Wait, who consented to their son's circumcision? Is that Rod?
Rod.
Oh, if I need another reason to hate this fucker.
He's on a mission from Rod.
I consented to genital mutilation of my kid because that sounded like a fun thing to do.
Well, if you give zero thought to it, you just kind of, you're like, oh, okay.
What a piece of shit.
The whole point is, like,
well, that's how it was.
You're not supposed to. Yeah, you're not supposed to give it thought. Like, I didn't give it thought.
Yeah, that's how it was when, you know, for. I mean, being against circumcision in this country is a very relatively new phenomenon. It's catching fire, which is why Jews have been writing about this this anti-circumcision bias that's creeping up.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's become an actual medical debate now, whereas just a generation ago, parents would be like, "Oh yeah, the doctor says it's cleaner and it's more hygienic," and I trust them. And people don't have that level of trust anymore. So it's like, this seems like a cosmetic procedure. I don't think I want to do that.
It's a completely necessary blood sacrifice to our secret overlords. So you might as well just do it. Keeps the secret overlords happy. It signals, you know, that we're compliant. I mean, you want to be compliant here. You want to upset the apple cart. You don't want to get in trouble. So it seems reasonable. I mean, he's only a baby. He's not going to remember. It doesn't actually. If there's no memory, there's no pain. So
It is what
it's
it
is. The barbarism of America just never fails to disgust me.
Well, it's Judaism. It's not America. I'll stand up for America for a second. That's not, we didn't come up with that. The Jews came up with that.
The Jews did come up with it. Just like the Jewish like foreign policy idea of you do vengeance on people.
Yes.
Fuck the geopolitics. If somebody does something, you got to take vengeance.
Domestically, you cut their dicks. Fucking
vengeance is mine, saith the Jew.
Yep. Ah, very nice.
I got a little distracted because I saw a Telegraph headline. It said U.S. and Israel considering exiling Hamas terrorists to shorten conflict. And I'm like, oh, so it's not ethnic cleansing. You're just putting them into exile. Exile where?
Engaging in population exchange or expulsion.
Yeah,
peaceful ethnic cleansing.
Officials have explained expelling thousands.
Well, it's like how how are you going to accomplish your exile through military force?
Here it is: expulsion, expelling.
We're going to
a whole bunch of words that we're going to paper over the ethnic cleansing with.
See, what we're going to do is we're going to point a bunch of guns at them, and we're also going to like roll tanks into where they live in their territory, and then we're going to militarily occupy it, and then we're going to exile. It's not the same as a genocide or a forced, you know, military ethnic cleansing. No, it's just exile. We're coming U.S. and Israel. Considering coming up with new words for the atrocities they're committing.
It is interesting how different civilizations engaged in warfare, because do you know what the Persians would do? This is before they became Islamic. What the Persians would do is when they captured a city, they completely depopulated that city and move them to another city. They would sometimes even build whole new cities to move them into. I'm not sure what the exact purposes of that was completely, but so they once depopulated the city of Antioch, and they built a new city of Antioch that was literally called
New Antioch.
Better Antioch. This was built by Khosrow, the Shah.
We built this city.
Better Antioch.
Better call Antioch.
Oh, God. That's funny.
Yeah, it's just... So, at the very least, at least the Persians gave you a new place to live in. Yeah, they took you out of your home, but they built you a new city, and they said it was a better city than the previous one you're in. That's a very interesting way of dealing with your enemies, but it's a lot more humane than the way that Jews handle things.
I mean, maybe the Jews should try to build, like, the villages for Palestinians over there.
Better Palestine. Choose buildings.
Better Palestine.
Better.
It's got golf carts. It's got swimming pools.
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
Isn't Better Palestine to them just like a mass grave, really? I mean, that's what the Israelis are building. We'll build you some place to be dead. Because we're trying to do a genocide here. Outside of that, I guess, the better Middle East is Europe, right? And they're just, let's send them all to Europe. They didn't build anything. We'll just cram them into this existing structure filled with people that already live there. Wikipedia is still not on the market. Please don't scroll past this one-minute read. What do they want, money again? What does it mean on the market? You're selling it? Sell it. Sell, sell, sell. Where Antioch Khosrow? Was I supposed
literally
to read something
better than literally better than Antioch Khosrow built this?
Anyway.
Yeah, let's populated by deported Roman prisoners of war.
Very nice. Well, let's take a break and pick this up after the bit here. I don't think I don't have a merchant minute. So if I remember when we come back, maybe we'll listen to a fancy Christmas song since it's December 1st. Ooh, it's already begun. Listen to something fancy and fun. I like my Christmas songs, but I don't want to make any more because I want to enjoy the Christmas spirit, the Christmas season. Sorry. I'll be right back.
You are listening to the Daily Sewer.